You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it is Eva. I'm here with another episode of Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. Make sure you are subscribed and following on whatever platform you're listening to me on. Following, subscribing, commenting, all that is very helpful for not only me, but for other people to be able to find the podcast. So, without further ado, let's get into this. This episode, I was going to try to be all mysterious with it, but I have come to realize that when I try to do that, it's like, why? Because you guys can see the title, so you already know what I'm going to talk about. But anyway, so I'm going to be discussing the new YA young adult teen drama sci-fi thriller show, The Society, that is on Netflix. So this show launched last week, so like, what was that, May 10th on Netflix. And honestly, I didn't even know anything about this show, but prior to it falling or launching on that platform, I ended up watching the entire season in one day on a Saturday. And I actually have an excuse for watching the entire season because I was doing my hair and I needed something that was consistent. So I wouldn't have to keep trying to find something to watch, even though I have a lot of shows to catch up on. But we're not, that's not what this is about. But so I was like, oh, The Society, what is this? So I watched the trailer and I was like, you guys know me. I really do like a lot of young adult, teen, high school-y type of shows, especially like Netflix seems to really do have like some good solid shows that are young adult, teen driven. So I was like, do I really want to get sucked into another teen series? I almost said into another teen movie. That is an actual movie, like a parody of teen movies. But, you know, I don't know how old you guys are who are listening to me, so I could just be talking about something that you don't even know what I'm talking about. But so I was like, do I really want to get dragged to another teen series? Because I do watch a lot of them. And even watching the trailer, I was getting some similarities, at least from the trailer, to some shows that I already currently watch. I was feeling a little bit of The 100. I don't know why. And then from the synopsis was like, oh, they go on a field trip and then they come back. So I'm like, you know, I don't know. Do I want to do it? Whatever. So I was like, you guys know my philosophy when it comes to watching new TV shows, my 1 to 3 episode like buffer of if I'm actually going to continue to watch a show. I'm not gonna say 9 times out of 10, I'm gonna say 75% of the time, if I make it to episode 3, then I most likely am going to finish. But that isn't, there are cases where that has not been the case. So I was like, okay, we're just going to do this. Episode 1 was not really that exciting. It was a little bit slow to start, but even though this is a show that you technically are supposed to binge due to like how our society exists and functions with TV shows now, seeing that we're supposed to binge it, I'm like, okay, whatever. This is like your pilot episode, essentially. So if this is on TV, this would be the pilot episode. And for me, also, if you have not been listening for a long time, then you probably have never heard me talk about pilot episodes. But I, for the most part, have never really liked a pilot episode of a TV show. There are very few shows where I've liked the pilot episode, and the pilot episode is what made me want to keep watching. I cannot think of them right now, but there are very, very few. So that's why I'm like, I don't count on the first episode being the one to draw me in. And this was not different for this show, which was the first episode was entitled What Happened. Honestly, I wasn't really paying attention for like the first, I think like 8 minutes. So I had to rewind it and go back to rewatch what I had missed, because once we got to like the field trip part, I was like, okay, what is cool? Like, who were these people at the beginning? So I'm glad I actually did rewind, because like some of what happens in that, during that portion of the beginning, like you kind of need to know as we get further into the season. So I did have to rewind it and rewatch it. But like I said, the first episode was not really too exciting until towards the end. And you guys know with shows that I binge, I have to make sure that I take notes, because there's just too many episodes to try to just watch in one sitting and then try to come talk about. So some of the notable notes that I have from the first episode was that it starts with a smell. I didn't know what that meant. I just knew like they kept talking about smell. So I was like, the smell must be something. So I wrote it down. And then my second note was, were the kids sacrificed? Because I was, for some reason, and even when we get to the end of it, I still kind of have this feeling that the parents sacrificed the kids. Because it was feeling like that from the beginning. So I don't know. That was just me. I don't know if anyone else is feeling like that. And then my note after that was, or did the parents sacrifice themselves? But we find out in the end that the parents do still exist. The earth that they're from does still exist. And then another note, is this a replica of their home? Which we find out they are in a parallel universe. And then I made a note that there was one death. So we have one death immediately. You guys know I love when characters die on a TV show, because like it just pushes the story forward. And especially for this show, because there are way too many people in the basket, or what was the saying, people in the basket? What even is a basket? That's not even a thing. There are way too many hands in the basket. We're just going to use that metaphor. And I just want you guys to know, because you guys know I am already not that great at saying people's names. So with this show, there's just way too many kids. And as I was watching this, it took me a good, I want to say it took me like 3 or 4 episodes. Yeah, because I didn't start writing people's names down to episode 3. Yeah, episode 3. So it took me about 3 episodes for people's names to start to catch on for me, which is like, it's just too many people. So if I don't say people by names, that's because I honestly just did not write their name down. And I mean, I have IMDb pulled up right here, but I feel like it would just take too much to look for. Because I mean, the people who I'm going to talk about are probably going to be like the main people, even though our cast is super, super big. And I'm going to get into like what I want to see as far as moving forward towards the end, because that's what I usually do with these types of things. But let's just focus on the overall story for now. So I think the overall story for me, and this is when we started to talk about the genre of this show, because it's getting a lot of Lord of the Flies references, which are valid, but it's also like when you read the synopsis on Netflix, I believe they call it a drama or YA drama or something like that. And then as I was watching, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is like a drama. But then I was like, oh, I'm kind of getting a little bit of sci-fi in this. And then I read an article that called it a thriller. And I was like, okay, I guess it could sort of kind of be all of these things. Like it could straddle all of them, but I feel like the show leans heavily towards drama. It relies a lot on the drama between the kids as they're trying to figure out this new world and determine like what their relationships are with each other and like see these different power struggles. So I do think it is heavily a drama. As we go forward into a possible season 2, I would like to see a little bit more. You guys are probably going to be surprised to hear me say this, especially if you've been listening for a while, but I do want to see a little bit more sci-fi in this, because based on what we got from Gordy, I believe is what his name is. Don't quote me. Like I said, this cast is so big, but the kid who is like a part of trying to figure out how to get all the kids home, the one who was very interested in Cassandra in the beginning. So just based off of what he said, and so there was a solar eclipse towards the beginning of the season, which is how they determined that they're not on Earth because the next solar eclipse is not supposed to happen until like 2020 or 2022 or something like that. I didn't write the year down, but it was not that year. So based on this, they were like, okay, we must be on a different Earth, because also they were looking at stars. Like, this is where the sci-fi stuff comes in. They were looking at the stars and they're like, some of these stars are not in the right place. And so that's also how they were like, okay, we are not on our Earth. And then towards the end, on the Thanksgiving episode, is when we find out, or they let us know, that they believe that they are on a parallel they believe that they're on a parallel Earth to the one that they are used to. And so they're trying to figure out how they got there, and then two, how to get back. And so there must be some type of a portal or something. So this is where I think the thriller type of elements come into this show. It comes in because we get a few deaths. We had 3 deaths, I believe, total this entire season, which is a lot, but you know, I think there could have been a few more. But for the way that these kids behaved, I think 3 deaths was enough, because if they would have more than that, I think they would have just went over the edge and just, it would have turned into the Hunger Games. But we had 3 deaths. So we had the one in the first episode, which was the girls, they go out to the woods because they're trying to figure out where they are. They find out that the town that they're in, which they're from West Ham, and they realize that they're surrounded by the forest. And so they decide to go explore. The girl gets bit by a snake and she ends up having some type of reaction to it, and she ends up dying. So that's our first death. And that death is kind of what level sets the kids, because it's like, okay, there are consequences. We need to listen or try to figure out where we are, what we're doing, and kind of try to get some order. So that's when Cassandra naturally steps in as the leader, because apparently she was like some type of a school president or whatever. So, and honestly, I'm like, maybe she's also the oldest, because it was come off like she was the oldest of everyone. Like, she may have been the only senior there, but that could not be true, because I feel like some of them other kids had to be seniors as well, but she just naturally just fit into the leader role. And so that's when we have that her step in. And then so I didn't want to talk to Google, because like, if there's a show, especially a show that's like a bingeable show, and I know Google's not listening to this, but who knows, maybe, I don't know, but if there's a show that is like a bingeable show where they drop all the episodes at one time, and this show dropped on Friday, I watched it on Saturday, and I was just Googling it, because I was like, as I was watching episode, I think I was on episode 2, and I started like Googling it a little bit to kind of see, get a feel for what the ratings were, like Rotten Tomatoes, and like, which Rotten Tomatoes, I really don't look at Rotten Tomatoes for TV shows, but it's nice to see kind of what is out there. But I mostly, for TV shows, I'll look at IMDb. So that kind of a thing. And one of like the, so you know how when you're searching on Google and it gives you like all these other things that people could possibly be searching as like, not in the search bar, but as I don't know what to call them, like tabs in the search results. And so one of those tabs was like, who killed Cassandra? And I was like, I didn't know at that point who Cassandra was, but I was just like, okay, so Cassandra's gonna die. So whenever they say Cassandra, she's most likely gonna die. So I was like super upset about that. And then I was like, well, maybe she'll die towards the end of the season. Nope, she died in episode 3. So you guys know, I love deaths in TV shows, and I love like quick deaths. And especially when it's a death that you don't really see coming, which, had I not seen the Cassandra spoiler in the Google search results, Google, then I probably would have been like, oh, I didn't see that one coming. But I kind of felt like, knowing she was going to die, that might be the episode she's going to die, especially towards when we get closer to her death. But I was like, but then in my head, I was like, well, they can't really kill her off right now, because she's kind of like the leader. So maybe they're going to kill her off at the end. But I love like main, or people you think are the main characters being killed off. I love that kind of thing, because it completely, especially when it's done early, it just completely shifts the entire show. And it's like, okay, who's going to step up? Who's going to be like the person that we're going to care about to lead us through the rest of the season? And of course, it ends up being her sister, Allie. And it's not like she volunteered herself. She was reluctantly voluntold by her friends that she should be the one to step in to lead, because following Cassandra's death, all the kids like are freaking out because apparently there are guns in this town. Someone shot Cassandra. So now we have kids carrying guns on themselves, which leads to this like semi shootout. I guess it's not a shootout, but like this incident that happens in the cafeteria with guns. And so Allie ends up stepping into the leadership position, and she is in that position until our finale episode, which we'll get to that in a minute. But again, that's something that I like to see. And then that leads to our third death, which was we finally find out who killed Cassandra, and we find out that it's Dewey, someone who we don't even really know. So we know that Campbell have been very vocal about being against Cassandra and then against Allie as far as their beliefs on how the town should function. But then we see Harry go down, especially following Cassandra's death, we see him go through down a very dark path of drugs and depression and all this, which I feel like if we didn't have so many characters in the show, we could have focused a little bit more on that, but it kind of a little bit got brushed to the side because it's like he spent what, 2-3 episodes depressed and in his room in the dark not eating. And yeah, they mentioned it or whatever, but I feel like it could have been a little bit more time spent on that, because I think had more people known what Harry was going through, I don't think how we end the season would have happened. That's just my opinion. But we find out that Dewey's the one, which we didn't even know who Dewey was until we see him go talk to Harry and pretty much confess and say that he was the one who killed Cassandra, because Harry earlier during the prom night was talking about how he was super upset at Cassandra, was talking about how she needs to die or she needs to be like raped, which I was like, first of all, let's talk about the toxic masculinity in this show. All the guys are like disgusting for the most part. I think there's only one or two guys technically, or three. Three guys I could say solidly for the most part are pretty decent guys. And that is Sam, which I'm going to talk about Sam in a minute because he is like my favorite of the entire cast. So Sam, Grizz, who's also another favorite of the entire cast. And then I guess you'll call him our main guy, which is Will. He's pretty decent, even though he had his moments earlier in the season. But like as we got towards the end, I was like, okay, Will, I see you. But I mean, I think of all the guys, those three were pretty solid as far as morals were concerned. Everyone else was just like no moral compass at all. It was like free for all. And we're going to talk about Campbell, because Campbell's story is a story in itself. And we're going to talk about that in a minute about him and Elle. But yeah, so we see him down spiral after that. But we find out that Dewey is the one who, or we see Harry down spiral after the whole Cassandra thing. But we find out that Dewey is the one who killed Cassandra. So then this leads to a decision that... not Cassandra. Oh my God. It's too many people in the show. It leads to a decision that Allie has to make, because like they've essentially caught the person who committed this crime. And she's like, she has a moral compass and she doesn't want to kill him because I mean, they're kids. They have not killed anyone before, all except for Dewey and possibly Campbell. He's killed things, but I don't know if he's actually killed a person. But they haven't killed anyone before. And it's like, okay, we can try to put him in jail, but they don't really have the resources to keep him in jail and to devote a lot of time and manpower to maintaining a jail, if you would. So Will is pretty much like, all the kids are scared. You pretty much need to show that you're the one in power, because if you do not make the right decision, as in killing Dewey, then no one is going to follow you. So based on this, she decides to kill Dewey. And I thought that they did it in a very smart way. Shout out to Gordy for being our resident CSI on this case, because without him, I don't think they would have been able to rightfully convict Will. And I thought the whole like court episode was really good, because you got to see the kids just really deal with a lot of emotions that they had surrounding like what to do in this case. Especially, I have to look for her name, but the one who's like our resident preacher of the town, she even struggled, because she was voluntold that she would be acting as Dewey's defense attorney. So I don't know. I think like watching them do these different things throughout this season, and that would be in parallel to if they were actually on Earth as adults, was really interesting to kind of see how they come up with this. Because like, when you're a kid, you don't really think about these things, because you're like, oh, I don't have to worry about that. I'm a kid. My parents can deal with all that. And then you take the parents out of the equation, and it's like, without order and without rules and all these things, there's chaos. And having them realize that and trying to work through that, but still having like people who are definitely like, we don't need this. We should be free. We should, whatever is ours is ours. Like, just watching that, I think, was one of the things that's been really interesting about the show. But yeah, so Dewey ends up being killed. And I thought it was interesting that they decided to have three. So we have the guard, which is pretty much consists of the football team. And the three of the four, because it's four people on the guard, three of them were supposed to shoot at Dewey, and two of the guns were blanks. One had a live round in it. And so they were supposed to do it, but Grizz was one of the people, and he just was like, I can't do it. He got super sick after the first shot. And so he was just like, I can't do it, because they had to do it again, because they all completely missed. And so Allie, I'm struggling with these names because I wanted to call her Cassandra again. Allie stepped into Grizz's spot and they all shot. We don't really know who had the live round, but one of them made it and Grizz ends up dying. And that's kind of how Allie is able to maintain a lot of her power, because she pretty much was like, she told them pretty much an eye for an eye. If you kill someone, you're going to die too. So there was that. And so after that, we see her get upset with Will because she blames him for her having to make that decision. But Will was willing to step into that spot and pull the trigger for her, but she wanted to do it on her own. So there is that. So after that, we jump 5 months later, which you guys know I love a good time jump. So we jump 5 months later. Also, I forgot to mention that we have Becca. She is also pregnant in the situation. So I guess I can start talking about Sam and Grizz and all the people who I really like before I get into Campbell and Elle. And then we'll wrap this all up with what I want to see in season two, because we're going to keep this on track. But so we have Becca. She, on the first night that they ended up in Newham, they threw a party and she slept with someone. So I wasn't really paying attention during that part either. Like, I knew they were partying. So at that point I was like, oh, kind of like multitasking. But during that party, she slept with someone and therefore ended up pregnant. And so she didn't want to, her and Sam are like best friends. She didn't want to tell him who the father was anytime he asked. And my thing is like, okay, girl, like, if the father is there, once that kid like comes out and starts to grow, people like, I just feel like kids start to look like their parents or whatever. And like, the kid is not going to look like Sam at all, but whatever, that's whatever. So Sam decides to be the best friend that he can be. And he's like, well, you don't want to tell me who the father is, and the kid shouldn't grow up without a father, so I will say that I am the father. But Sam is gay. So, and a lot of kids, for the most part, we're under the impression that he was gay, but we also do live in a time where everything is fluid now, so you don't necessarily have to be a specific thing. And so that's kind of how they kind of like mention that a little bit later on in the season after they find out that after Becca starts to show, because 5 months later she is showing and still trying to hide it, but she's showing. and they're saying that Sam is the father. But and Sam made his decision because he was pretty much like, he wants to have a family. He doesn't know how long that they're going to be stuck in New Ham. And he, like, at the time, there was no one in New Ham that he wanted to be with or had or some sort of being in a relationship with. But there is Grizz. And I caught this super early on that Grizz was in to Sam. I don't think I made a note of it. I'm trying to, like, go through my notes to see if I made a note about it. But there was one, it's earlier in the season when they're all in the same room, when Grizz is in the same room as Sam, and some words are exchanged. And that's why I was like, okay, I think Grizz, because at first I thought Grizz was, like, straight. But then after that episode or after that scene, I was like, okay, maybe Grizz is into Sam. But then it became even more obvious, like, later on that he was really into Sam, and Sam was just not catching what he was throwing. And I was just like, seriously, Sam, you cannot see that this boy is, like, super into you. He is learning sign language, stopping by the library, like, all this stuff. So then finally they have a moment. This is during episode 8, I believe. Because all I wrote in my note was, I cannot deal with the cuteness of Sam and Grizz. So I'm assuming it was during this episode. You guys, I told you, how I write notes and stuff, I'm just like, I just be writing what I'm thinking as I'm watching it. And that is what I was thinking. So Becca goes into labor in episode 8, or what they think is labor. And at the time, Sam and Grizz are hanging out. And it was just so super cute. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is what I needed from the show. I didn't even know I needed this from the show. But it was just, there are moments where, or there are people in shows where I feel like there should be, like, a person or people or something in the show that, regardless of what's going on, like, they can bring a smile to your face. And Sam and Grizz were that for me. And I was just like, oh my gosh, they're super adorable. And then, like, I mean, because I don't know. And Grizz was already, because if you spot it earlier on, like, Grizz was he's very much kind of like a caretaker. Because even the first episode when old girl ends up dying, like, he was the one in the woods who he's kind of looked at as the expert of all things, like, nature. And so he was the one who was like, we got to do this and this and this. And he's like, okay, no, she's dying. He's kind of had this sensitive side all the way through. Like, he's the one who couldn't go through with killing Dewey and, like, all these different things. So, like, just knowing that's the type of person that he is. And then, like, you see Sam, and Sam's like all for Becca, his friend. And then you kind of see how his brother Campbell treats him like crap, even though we find out that Campbell has serious issues of his own. But we see him being treated horribly by Campbell early on in the show. And then we see this whole exchange between him and Becca, and you're just like, oh, he should have someone. And then you, like, start to spot that Grizz kind of has feelings for him. You're like, okay, put these two together. Like, they're just two characters who you early on are like, okay, I like these characters. I'm rooting for these characters. I want these characters to be happy. So when we get to season 8, when we get to episode 8 and we see them, like, finally kiss together, I'm just like, oh my God, it's so cute. It was so cute. I don't know what else to say. It was so freaking adorable. Then it leads to Becca, because I'm just like, because, oh my gosh, why am I messing up people's names? Sam. Sam didn't tell Grizz about his whole deal with Becca and the baby. And so when he finally answers his phone to go to the like hospital, makeshift hospital, to check on Becca, like, Grizz is with him. And then he's like, oh wait, is this your baby? And he's like, yeah, because, I mean, they're pretty much trying to keep up the story. And then that whole exchange in the hospital, I'm like, okay, Becca, girl, I know you're in pain, but you can't see these obvious signs that, like, something's going on, because Grizz is tearing up. And I'm like, why would he be about to be in tears if there wasn't something more going on in this situation? So I'm just like, girl, I don't know how you are that oblivious, but clearly there are some things that are happening. And she just was not catching it. And I just did not understand that. But yeah, so I was just like, oh my gosh, just tell him the truth. I was like screaming at the TV, like, just tell him the truth. Like, you guys should be together. Like, that's kind of like selfish because it's not your child. But of course, that's not what happens. And Sam maintains that he's the father of Becca's baby. And finally, a little bit before Grizz heads off on his expedition, they do make up, and then they have like the sweetest moment before, right before the expedition team is about to take off, where they kind of make up and he's like, you have to come back. And then they kiss. I'm just like, oh my gosh, why is this just so adorable? I don't know, but it's so freaking cute. Oh my gosh. Okay, we need to move on because I'm like over here like fangirling and I don't even know why. So yeah, that is Sam and Chris. So let's talk about Elle and Campbell. So Elle, we kind of see her a little bit in the beginning. We know that she doesn't really have a lot of friends and she doesn't really have anyone in her corner. And so Campbell is a predator and he is, and he notices this and he kind of attached himself to it. And early on, I didn't really realize how manipulative and insane he was, because we get that episode where they first get together like right before prom and he's like, oh, we don't have to sleep together, but like I won't touch you or whatever. And then they have like the whole, I was like, okay, you know, maybe he's not all that bad. But then no, it like progressed like further throughout the season, and we find out from Sam that he was diagnosed as being a psychopath. And so like, he's crazy, and Elle is in this house with him by herself. She's being abused. She's being, pretty much she's being abused. Like, you see all the cases of domestic violence. Like, she's being isolated. Sam Campbell doesn't like to go out and be social, so therefore he forces her to stay in with him. And every time every time she suggests something to do outside of the house, he has an excuse and he tries to make her feel guilty. And so all these things are going on, and so she kind of confides in Helena, but it's further more later in the season because we see her try to take Campbell out, which I think would have worked, but Campbell, for some reason, because it was Thanksgiving and he somehow had feelings on that night and he wanted to show her off, was like, oh, let's take your pie that you made, not knowing that it was a poisonous pie, to the communal Thanksgiving and end up getting a bunch of people sick. And this moment is also when Will finally sees he is... realizes with a little push from, oh my gosh, I can't remember the other girl who he was into. It's too many people. But he finally realizes with a push from her that he is really into Allie. But a lot of stuff happened that night with the whole Thanksgiving pie sickness thing. And so then she ends up confiding to Helena, and then she ends up going to Allie and confessing that she was the one who poisoned the pie, but it was supposed to be for Campbell. So then Allie tries to put her in protection. But Allie does this when she decides to hold against Will's advice. She decides to hold an election for mayor and the council team, or council members or whatever. And so it's during this time, and not knowing that there's also a coup being set up by Campbell, mostly Campbell, because he goes in and tries to do it with Harry, but Harry is still on drugs, which are drugs that Campbell gave him in the beginning of the season, and Campbell is still giving him to force him to do what he wants him to do, because Harry was ready to step out of it. And then he also manipulates the guard, not like all the guards, like two, well, Grizz is not here because he's on the expedition, but then you have the two like meathead ones who are like, we need power because we're male and we have penises, so we need to be the ones in charge. So of course those two easily, but then we have the other one who was like the star football player, and he wasn't too easily convinced, but then of course he's pretty much forced into being involved in this. And then we have Lexi, who was the other person, which I will say what those two guards did to her when they captured her, when they thought that she was the one who poisoned the pie, what they did to her, I thought was disgusting. And I think that Allie could have handled that better. Yeah, it's your period and it shouldn't be like this taboo thing, but it's not even that about her getting her period. It's about how she was treated by two males who were essentially supposed to be people who are supposed to be protecting the people who live in this town. So I do think that that could have been handled better. And had that been handled better, then I don't think we would have had a Lexi problem. But because of that, Lexi was clearly getting a lot of people to follow her. But then we get this whole coup where now Campbell has the guard, he has Lexi, he has Harry, and they force themselves into Allie's home. They arrest Allie and Will, and Gordy escapes. But Gordy escapes, and I'm like, okay, so, you know, this is not really going to work, or it's not going to last long, because there has to be a lot of people out there who just do not believe this. Like, look at who we're talking about. Campbell. Where has Campbell been this entire time? He's been isolated in his house with freaking L, and then all of a sudden he's crawling out of his tunnel and trying to run things. And then Harry, who also has kind of been MIA because he's been living in a black hole because he's been depressed for half the season. So it's just like, who are we listening to? And then we have Lexi, who seems to be leading with anger. So it's like, these are not reliable people. And the fact that Helena was that easily convinced that what they were saying about Will and Allie were true, even after she had talked to Allie and was like, oh, I'm going to try to give a sermon that's going to have people vote in your favor, and then they say this and she just easily believes it because her fiance said that he heard them. But even as he was saying, I was like, him saying it even looks and sounds suspect, because I don't know, he just did not seem like he was telling the truth. So there's a lot of things that happened throughout the season where it was just like, I feel like the kids weren't being 100% aware and cognizant of their surroundings, because a lot of things were happening. I'm just like, this is apparently happening, but no one is catching on type of a thing. So there's that. Becca has her baby in this episode as well. This is the finale episode. So it's like, oh, this is the first baby of Newham. But then also it's like, oh, now we have this new leadership that's kind of like, everyone wants to talk about there being democracy versus a dictatorship. But it's like, once you get that power, and even we kind of see it a little bit in this episode, because once they get that power and they see how everyone reacts to seeing Allie and Will, and they start throwing things at them, and then Lexi's like, oh, well, we're still going to keep the same rules and we're not going to change anything. It's going to be slow. I'm like, girl, you could have stayed sitting down and shutting up. You did not have to get up to try to take control of power if you weren't going to change anything. It's just like, they're teenagers. They all want to feel like they have power and are in charge. You guys, I cannot talk today. They want to feel like they have power and are in charge of things. And it's just like, no. So I don't know. But all this to say, the underlying mystery is that, how did they get here? We saw this guy at the beginning, which we're to assume is this Pfeiffer guy. We see him in photos, which we saw him in photos earlier on in the season before they finally are like, who was it? I believe it was the girl whose name is escaping me, who was like Harry's girlfriend, and then Will was really into her. Kelly. Her name's Kelly. Because I just see my note from episode 9. Kelly notices the bus driver in Becca's phone. So like, finally it was Kelly who notices that the bus driver was the same guy from the first episode. And so she's like, this guy has to mean something. And then Sam finally comes forward because Campbell made him tear up evidence that could have been incriminating to their family. And we find out that the town or the parents were supposed to pay him like $1.5 million to get rid of the smell. And so the smell went away for a day. And then they were like, we're not going to pay you. And then the smell came back. And this was all the day before the kids went on the field trip. And then they left on the field trip. The bus driver is this guy Pfeiffer. And then they end up in this parallel universe. So that's like our underlying mystery, which I don't think we're going to completely 100% figure out for a while, especially if we do get season 2. I think it just depends on how many seasons of this we get of this show, and if Netflix lets us get to a point of completion, because the showrunner, Christopher Kaiser, said that this is definitely a mystery that they're going to drag out. So if you were waiting for an answer and hoping to get one immediately in season two, that might not be the case. But yeah, so we have that underlying mystery that is happening. I think overall there are, or I guess I can say some other things that Christopher Curtis said. So he said what a possible season two would be that, of course, we need to talk about this new leadership, because he said, like, we have these three people who are kind of hostile people. So kind of seeing how that plays out, and then also trying to see how the kids would be self-sufficient and be able to produce goods, because we know that they started in this town with a certain amount of food and electricity and water, and they don't really know where all this stuff is coming from. And so they had enough food to give them to the summer. And so that's why the expedition went to try to find somewhere where they can farm. And so essentially it would be, what does that look like for them? What that looks like if it fails, if it succeeds. So that's some of the things that he was throwing out there as far as what a possible season two could look like. But as far as what I want to see from a season two, or what I want to see more of, I feel like I said, we are straddling a lot of genres. I do want to see a little bit more sci-fi, because I do think that there are some elements of that, and I want to see how that plays. I don't know. I want to lean more towards like a sci-fi or a thriller, and less towards a drama. Even though, I mean, some of it is interesting, some of it isn't. I also feel like there are way too many kids. Especially way too many kids that we're supposed to care about and follow. So I'm okay with some people dying next season if we get a season two. Like, we can just do a whole, I'm like thinking of the challenge now where they do like a purge episode where like they purge a bunch of people off the show. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, if there's a sickness that comes through and like knocks out half the people, like, I don't know. There's just too many kids. There are too many kids. So I'm okay with some of them dying as well. I do want to see how the relationship between Grizz and Sam progresses, especially now that we have this baby here. I'm interested to also see how the kids handle the baby being here, because we're talking about food and running out of supplies and all that, and the baby needs food and supplies. Like, yeah, Becca can feed the baby from her body, but then she also needs to feed herself in order to be able to feed the baby. So there is that. So I think it'll be interesting to see kind of how that plays. And then also if they do actually move to this new land, because I think they said it was like an hour walk from the town. So like I think they would have to relocate, maybe, because like who's going to travel an hour there and an hour back lugging all that food and stuff? I don't know. So I'm interested to see how that all plays out as well. I also want to see how this whole thing with Lexi, Harry, and Campbell plays out, because I feel like there should still be people who, I mean, we have Gordy, but Gordy's still at the hospital with Sam and Becca, and he didn't even tell them what was going on. So like, we know those three are going to be trying to save Allie and Will, but like, I want to see just how that all plays out and how long that whole reign lasts with them. And yeah, I just want to see just how this all progresses and how we move forward. But I mean, that's pretty much all I have. I feel like I talked way longer than I wanted to talk about this show. But like I said, there's just too many kids on this show. So like, Netflix or Christopher, y'all can trim the cast a little bit. It's okay. Or at least we can focus on like a smaller amount of people. I don't know. That's just me. What do you guys think? What did you think of the society? Did you like the show? Would you watch a season two if it's renewed? Let me know all of your thoughts. You can let me know by commenting on the Instagram post related to this episode at Currently Binging. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode, which stay tuned because there are quite a few episodes coming up because we are in finale season, guys. So stay tuned for that. But I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram @currentlybinging and on Twitter @currentbinge.